Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about this question of faith, and I have a wonderful letter to read to you from one of our listeners whose testimony just sums up some of the things that we've been talking about. I've been using Pamela Reeve's book, Faith Is. Things like faith is confidence in God when money is running out and not rolling in. Faith is remembering that in the kingdom of God, everything is based on promise, not on feeling. Faith is rejecting the feeling of panic when things seem out of control. Faith is realizing that what God is going to do through me will be on the basis of miracle, not manpower, on the basis of His promise and not my goodness. Faith is expecting God to accomplish miracles, and perhaps the toughest one is the one that I talked about yesterday, thanking God for specific things that upset me. Not so easy to do, is it? Well, here's a woman that writes, "I am one of the many young women who read your books, listen to your tapes, and attend conferences in which you share your wisdom. Several years ago, you spoke at Urbana." Urbana is the student missionary convention sponsored by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Illinois every 3 years. "It was my first opportunity to hear you speak in person. You shared your passion and purity story. I was amazed when out of the huge pile of questions brought to you, my question was the first or second one you read aloud and answered. At that time, I asked you if it was okay to hope, as you did, that the Lord would bring you and Jim together. Wasn't that setting yourself up for heartbreak? Your answer has carried me through the years, and I have shared it with many, many women. You shared how, as children, we can ask for and hope for anything our heart desires, but we do so always with the understanding that our Father knows what's best and sees beyond what we see. When we hope, it is always with the fine print in which we acknowledge that we at times don't know what to ask for, don't know if what we hope for is right and good. So we ask and hope, but we leave the decision to Him, knowing He will do whatever is truly best for us, knowing He knows. Several years later, you spoke in Alabama at a women's retreat, which my mother and I attended. I spoke to you briefly there and later wrote you a letter, which you graciously responded to, in which I thanked you for what you had talked about. I shared with you that it was the first time that my mother and I had ever related to one another on spiritual things, and how grateful I was that what you had spoken about seemed to open a new door of understanding between Mom and me. Several years later, I met and fell in love with a young man who lived rather far away. As our relationship became more serious, I read Passion and Purity several times over. Passion and Purity is my love story of Jim Elliot and me. That's my parenthesis. My correspondent goes on, "I read that several times over, not really wanting to set such high standards, or rather wanting to, but not really. The Lord seemed to be opening all the doors to allow my relationship with so-and-so to deepen, and changing the site of my cross-cultural training from one city to another, which happened to be only 3 hours from where he lived. In spite of the fact that he was charming, persuasive, and experienced in the ways of women, I held out for 6 months before I let him kiss me. He had said he loved me, and we were both convinced that this was it. I wrote to you several times, and you wrote back, cautioning me not to make any plans until the ring was on my finger. At the time, I was in the process of preparing to go overseas for a 2-year term as a missionary. In my mind, I planned to come back to the States, move to the city where he was, and get engaged. I thought your advice was too cautious. After all, we loved each other. After only 3 short months of my being overseas, my relationship with him became unglued and fell apart. I was devastated. A friend had sent me several of your tapes, one of which The Dating Mess, among others, so spoke to my heart and reminded me of God's truths. My heart was shattered. I wrote you, and you offered the comfort of the fact that I now had something new to offer. A broken heart. I offered it. About 1 year later, in God's providence, he brought you to Belgium, very close to where I was living. I had asked Lars, that's my husband, in a letter before you came to please bring as many tapes of yours as he could. He generously brought a dozen or so, and I devoured them eagerly on the next several months, sharing them with several Dutch and British friends. Your words of God's sovereignty, provision, wisdom, holiness were a balm not just to my heart and soul, but also to my friends. I was amazed to meet up with three or four women my age with the same story to tell. They too had fallen in love with a younger man who had pursued them enthusiastically, made beautiful promises, and then changed their minds and broke a woman's heart. It was then that I realized the true wisdom of your advice in Passion and Purity. Even though he and I had never gone any further than kissing and embracing, no deep kissing, that intimacy we shared in the physical clouded my perspective and confused the whole issue. When he broke up our relationship, the physical part made it much harder for me to let go. When things fell apart and he rejected me, I felt so wounded I thought I would never heal. I honestly believed that I would never love anyone like that again, that I was wounded for life. Then I heard one of your tapes in which you said it was a lie of the enemy to believe that some event that had happened would prevent something else from ever happening, as if a mistake you made or someone else made would somehow prevent God's will for your life. Thank you for that, Mrs. Grin. At the end of my 2-year term, I came back to the U.S. with a much better perspective and a more intimate understanding of God's sovereignty. And now for the end of the story. When he started to reject me, I grabbed at anything I could try to keep us together. So I started reading some of his favorite books on economics, politics, theology, etc. I became interested and read more the following year. About a year later, I attended a conference in London featuring several of the authors that he had introduced me to as we were breaking up. While there, I met a nice young man from South Carolina named Blank. And when I got back to the States, he got in touch with me. At the time, I was discouraged. It was taking me so long to find a job. I never had trouble finding a job before. But when he invited me to accompany him to hear a speaker in chapel at a Christian college, I thought, why not? I had the time. The second day we were there, he invited me to join him for a lunch appointment with a guy he did not know, but one some mutual friends wanted him to meet. I declined, saying I'd rather stay in the library and write some overdue letters. So off he went to lunch alone. About an hour later, he walked back into the library, followed by a very handsome young man named, and I'll call him Joe. The first man said that Joe was so nice that he wanted me to meet him. Joe and I hit it off right away. From that day on, Joe pursued me with much determination and creativity. Later, he told me that during lunch with his friend on that day, he and his friend discussed where they might find a suitable wife, and his friend ended up telling Joe all about me. Joe was so intrigued that he and his friend left lunch immediately so he could meet me. Joe tells me he knew in the first 5 minutes that I was the girl he'd waited for his whole life. As unreal as it may sound, Joe had never dated any other girl. After the heartbreak with the first man, I was convinced that if I was to marry, the Lord would have to make it clear to the guy, for I was not going to make a single move. I reasoned that since I was only interested in marrying a godly man, then I could trust God to lead him to me, for he would be a man attuned to God's voice and would know that God was directing him to pursue me. This is exactly what happened. How faithful our Father is. He arranged all the details to bring Joe and me together. The day after I met Joe, I was offered 2 job positions. The Lord's timing was perfect. On March 16th, Joe and I are to be married, Lord willing. How I praise God for protecting me from making a big mistake in marrying the first man. The Lord protects us from ourselves. I really thought I knew what was best, but the Lord so arranged things to save me for Joe, who is so perfectly suited to me. Thank you for the ministry you've had in my life for many years. May God continue to give you the grace and courage you need to speak forth his truth." And she signs "in his love" with her name. And get this, P.S. I don't want to leave off this. P.S. For the first time, Joe will kiss me on our wedding day at the altar. And I just want to say to the listeners, we've been looking at faith, realizing that faith leaves the results with God. The results of our obedience are God's business. Faith waits. Faith trusts. We're going to be looking at faith and God's timing. So be sure to keep this beautiful story in mind. Have you ever heard a better example of God's timing? God so often says no to our prayers because he has something else in mind, something better for us. Trust him, will you? Just trust him.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.